Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and we're talking about a stirred up spirit. That is the description of the condition of King Cyrus when he was allowed the privilege, really, to allow the Israelites to return to Jerusalem to build a house for the Lord. And how can, relating it to our own lives, because we can have desire, we can have will, we can have many good intentions, but it actually takes the stirring up by the Spirit of God, our spirits. And I want to pray for that. We're going to be doing that. But what is the evidence? First of all, there has to be faith in God's Word. Like Cyrus, he said he knew without a shadow of doubt. To make that declaration, he said, "The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem." So he believed that was God speaking to him, and he was doing everything necessary to implement that result. And beloved, God has called us to build a house. It's a temple of the living God, if you will. It's a holy temple made up of many members, lively stones, fitly framed together, built by the Word of God and the power of God. You know, we can't just have a dead letter. It's the, you know, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So it's a unison of both power and Word that has to be in play. And that's true in our lives. You know, faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience and action is worthless. It doesn't produce any results. So, first of all, there's faith in God's Word. And then, secondly, there's a confession of the purpose of God. In verse 1, Cyrus said, "I made a proclamation throughout my kingdom." That's what he did. There was the word was spread abroad, and this is what he wanted everybody to know. This is what he was doing. And when we know what God's will is, we shouldn't be ashamed to declare it. Whatever it is that God has placed on your heart, whatever he's called you to do, we all should be willing to put every ounce of strength in accomplishing his will and his directions that he puts before us. And we have to be willing to give whatever he has. All that we have is his, whether it's our time, finances, our energies, our strength. There, it has to be a willingness to be available to God. We can't build it. God will build it. But we have to be willing to do whatever necessary. And if making sacrifices are part of that, we need to do that. As well as that, as you read in the book, that first chapter, there were free will offerings that were given to those returning so that the work could be done. And then also there's something about someone who has vision. If you have vision, if you don't have vision, you're probably not going to be what you would call a liberal heart, liberal in the archaic sense of the word, generous, willing to share. But God uses a liberal heart to bring honor to himself. And Cyrus, certainly he was liberal hearted. His offer to let all the captives go who desired to the restoration of Jerusalem. I mean, that was a big step. And in verse 4, it says in the chapter 1, he provided for the sojourners by the way. And silver, gold, goods, beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. And in verse 7 and 8, we see that Cyrus also delivered the sacred holy vessels of the house of the Lord into the hands of the prince of Judah. That was... Let's see, even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridates the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shebaz, the prince of Judah. So he had a liberal heart, and he was determined to do everything that the Lord had placed upon his heart. Isaiah 32 and 8 declares, the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. A heart that has been stirred up by the Lord will look for ways in which to help carry out God's work. And it will be different for every person, but there's a joy in working with the Lord. So often we think we have to work for the Lord, but the Spirit of God works with us to accomplish His will. Sometimes it might be your time listening to someone. It may be your testimony. It might be actually witnessing and sharing the gospel. It might just be to be very pleasant sometimes until God opens an opportunity, like in a work situation. And people will begin to notice the peace, the tranquility of heart, the things that befit a Christian, all the fruit of the Spirit. There's, you know, I've said this before, I don't know how many times, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. So there's a point right there. We need to expect much from the Lord and attempt much for God. He will bring the results. He will give the strength. He will give the anointing. Dwight Moody said, God never uses a discouraged worker. Why is that? Well, think about it. Because if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, you're just consumed with what's going on in your life. There's a self-centeredness because you're hurting, you're discouraged, you're depressed, whatever. And so we need a stirred up spirit that we can always be on the alert of looking for opportunities in helping in the work of the Lord and encouraging the people of God and devise means whereby those that are hurting can be restored. There's so little compassion today. People are rushing about, just like the scriptures say. And someone that would take the time to care, to listen. And there's another way we can help. It's termed servant evangelism, but being willing to help, to go to the grocery store for an elderly person, or perhaps to take care of the children with a single mom who's been just on overload. There's many, many ways, things that we can do to reflect the love of Jesus. That's part of building His house. Sometimes we think it has to be big and grandiose and out there in the public eye for things to happen. No, that's not true. What we need to do is be faithful to God. Someone that is liberal-hearted will seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, just as the command of the Lord is, and then God reaches out in restoration power. He stirs the spirit to set His people free and to reach the lost. In Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, many commentators agree that this chapter was written as a hymn to be used in worship at the temple, and I'm going to turn to that. Verse 1, I'll share that with you, begins by pronouncing woe upon the enemy, and in verses 2 to 6, proceeds to offer a prayer and praise to the Lord. Let me share that. Woe to thee that spoilest, thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with you. And then a prayer, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We've waited for thee. Can you join in that prayer? Amen. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered, and your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of a caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And beautiful verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is their treasure. So these themes were the twin sources, if you will, of Judah's consolation and thanksgiving. And in this context, the fear of the Lord, which I just read in verse 6, it denotes the worship of God in Jerusalem and seen as the treasure given to his people. Verse 7 and 8, what does it say there? Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. What do we see there? A desperate situation which the enemy had caused. Verse 9 refers to various regions affected by the invading army. It talks about Lebanon, Bashan, Carmel, who had been invaded. And verse 10 offers the reply God made to his troubled people. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift myself up. And God is going to bear his holy arm in your behalf. He's seen the work of the enemy against you, against his church, and he will arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lord. Verse 11 and 12 addresses the enemy, and verse 13 calls the rest of mankind to acknowledge what he has done for Judah. Hear ye, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might, my power. And verses 14 and 15 speaks concerning the righteousness of God. Well, my time has flown by, and we will pick up here tomorrow at this time. But God is in the process of stirring, anointing, causing the shackles to be broken. He's setting the captive free. Remember, that's what Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to speak the good news, to set the captive free, to give the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. His words have been placed in this precious holy Bible so we can understand that the words that are spoken by the Lord are for people of all times. And yes, we're reading something that Prophet Isaiah, for example, was saying to the people of Israel, but they have significance and pertinence for us. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close, but not without inviting you to share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.